Absolutely. I will when the time is right, darling, when the time is right.
Is this something like Rem's red pickup?
As the Lord... Oh, no. Yeah, hallelujah. Well, I don't know if I'll even go into that, but I will say that God is good. I will say that as I listen to the girls even, you know, the thing about we've got all of these things that go on, and God has given us everything, and not just last Sunday, I think maybe we talked about being equipped and equipping, and you know, the Word of God equips us. As I said, I pray that I'm equipping you, because if I'm not equipping you with the Word and equipping you, giving you the proper equipment, then I need to go do something else, because that just wouldn't be right. But as the Lord said, you know, we can have all the equipment in the world, but if we don't have a desire to put it into action, then we have nothing. And as the girl shared, you know, God gives us things to give to others. We don't want to have them stagnate. We want to use the equipment. As you know, one of the illustrations that I'd given was the, you know, people who actually spend thousands of dollars on ski equipment and never get on the ski slope. Or that I could buy a bull rope, but you won't see me on the bull. Eventually, if I went to enough rodeos carrying a bull rope, somebody would say, you know, I see that guy all the time walking around with a bull rope, but I never see him ride. Yeah. It was like in track and field, in the field events, there are some events where they have like three opportunities to throw or to jump or do something, you know, where they don't have qualifying. It's just one out of the three has to qualify them. And some people are just so excellent, they don't even bother the first two opportunities. And they'll qualify for the finals in one shot. When I was in high school, there was a guy that threw the shot put and threw the discus. And he very seldom bothered to throw either until the third round. And then the third round, he would throw the discus 100 feet beyond where anybody else threw it, and he would mess around and throw the shot out there enough to qualify, and then he'd win because he was just excellent. He ultimately ended up, he was from Aberdeen, he ended up playing professional football. But, you know, the thing is that in our walk with God, we should not be skipping any rounds. We should be using the equipment that God has given us. And to recognize that we have the equipment. I'm thankful that, you know, Rachel said that she was kind of frustrated, but instead of becoming frustrated and discouraged, she used the equipment that she had to say, oh, wait a minute, let's just hear what God has to say about this. And then to receive what God said. Now is not the time. This morning as I was praying and you know, praying about our nation and praying about, you know, God's patience and trying, you know, thinking about, you know, God could turn everybody's hearts in a moment, but he doesn't. And, you know, certain things go on, and I was reading some books. One book is A Power to Change the World, and it's about the two revivals, the Welsh and the Azusa Street revivals, they're talking about them. And then I ran into a book by another man, a prophetic man, wrote a book talking about the fact that there's a revival is there's absolutely a huge one coming. But he says, no matter how much, he said, I'm concerned, no matter how much the prophetic people are praying for it, everyone is praying for it, he said, he thinks that probably North America will miss it. And he thinks that the reason for that is because we've had so many opportunities but have not jumped into the flow of it. But at the same time, he speaks of the fact that the Lord has raised up people who will catch it, but the nation may skip it. And when Mary was praying, that was from the Lord, the fact that, you know, the Lord has like dropped a pebble in little places. From this little place this morning, fireworks began. as we were singing and worshiping and the prayer was going on and stuff, and there came to a place where there was kind of a climax there. It was like I just had this awareness of, you know, like at a fireworks display, there's always the grand finale where they hit it and there's all kinds of stuff going on and on and on, you know. And the whole idea, I think, is that they build it up and they get it to that point, and then it's going on and on and on and on. If you've been to one of those, you come to the place where you do actually, you just kind of begin to cheer, wow, how can it keep going? And I felt like we had like a grand finale. We had an explosion that was going out into the earth, and that God was pleased. If my people who are called by name, my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear them from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 22, it says, You have not called upon me, and you have been weary of me. And he says it to Jacob and Israel, but hey, it's us. Okay? I've read that a lot of times, but I think that I always sort of read it as, you have wearied me. But that isn't what that says. It says, you have become weary of me. But he says, not because you're worshiping too much. It's not because you've worn yourself out praising me. It's not because you've worn yourself out bringing me sacrifices. It's not because of anything like that. You've grown weary of me. I thought, wow. Don't grow weary of God. Do you know God can tell if we've grown weary of God? Weary of waiting? Weary of worshiping? Weary of hearing? Weary of reading and studying? You know, just weary of all the effort because God's not doing anything on our behalf. Now, that sounds foolishness to people of your stature in the kingdom of God. You certainly would never be that. I'm talking about other people at this. But sometimes I think that perhaps our hearts express to God, we're just weary of the whole thing. And God says, you've grown weary of me, and not because you've been worshiping. Not because you've been seeking, not because you've been praising, not because you've been calling forth the things that are not as though they are. And as you read down in that, ultimately he says, and you have wearied me with your sin. Well, I'll tell you what makes us weary. We're weary because of our sin. We become weary because we don't worship. We become weary because we don't praise. We become weary because we don't seek. We become weary because we don't press in. And instead of seeing it as that, we say to God in our spirit, we express that we're weary of Him. And I said, oh God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. If ever I have put out the aura that I'm weary of you. And probably I have. But I haven't knowingly. That's one benefit of having that other testimony. Those who are forgiven much, love much. But I tell you that God is just as good and even more amazing to those who haven't done all the rotten. But the good thing is that if we've done all the rotten, he just takes it away. If you read on in Isaiah chapter 43, he just says, I'll take it away. And then he makes some promises. He said, I'll give you streams in your deserts, grass in the desert. You know? So if you feel like you're in a desert, say, Lord, you promised me streams. You make me to lie down in green pastures. You restore my soul. This is what he says he will do. We need to take those as promises. And we need to. Thank God. Thank you for the prayers for our nation. Thank you for the calling forth of, of, of young men to dream dreams and old men to have visions and the remembrance of those things that God calls us to remember. Call me to remembrance now. Let's reason together. Let's talk about what I've said, God says. We don't want to just let our country go, but America has become weary. But just as I said, America has become weary because we were founded upon things like this. Things like George Washington praying, said, "We make an earnest prayer that you will keep the United States in your holy protection." As we were singing the battle hymn of the Republic, you know, the thing is, they were singing, they were declaring what God could do in the midst of the very worst turmoil of our country. A nation divided, brothers killing brothers, fathers against sons, absolutely divided. I mean, you talk about a nation that is weary. That was a pretty ugly time. But we survived. You know, I never, and as I mentioned, I was born in 1953. But I never thought too much about in my growing up that World War II only got over 8 years before I was born. And that the Holocaust and the atrocities that were done by Hitler were not that long before my time. I admit I grew up not paying attention to much. Give me a football, give me a baseball, give me a basketball, give me a piano that I could write a song and sing with. I lived in a bubble before I was saved. It wasn't the right bubble. But I didn't pay much attention. I'll tell you how, just how ignorant I was about things of politics and things about a nation. I remember where I was the day that President Kennedy was shot. Now, I had friends whose parents were political. My parents weren't political. Politics weren't discussed, and God wasn't discussed. So I guess we had a pretty safe house. His name was used in vain in unrelenting terms, but we went to church. But still, I remember being in that hallway, and I remember them saying that the president had been shot. Now, these friends of mine that were political, they were Republican types, and so they were, of course, they were for Nixon, and Kennedy was the president. I didn't know Republican or Democrat. I didn't even pay any attention to that. But I thought I would be cool when they said that. And so I said to my friends, "So, will Nixon be president now?" Did I miss something in history? Perhaps. But you see, I didn't pay attention. And I didn't care. And I never really fit in. Poor me. I really didn't. But you know, I didn't even pay much attention to that. Later in life, like recently, the Lord pointed out to me that I've sort of lived on a limb, like Zacchaeus. I've just sort of been hanging out there. And even since I've been saved, I've sort of been on a limb, just sort of hanging out there. But God said, "That's okay. I do remember that Zacchaeus had Jesus over for dinner. And not only that, but having grown up not really fitting, it really hasn't been problematic for me not to fit too much this way either. I found a good master. I found the Lord Jesus Christ." But the point of the matter is that's how ignorant I was about those things. Now, I can remember that in school, I really loved to sing the patriotic songs. And I would even sort of get a little tinge in my heart and You know, little eyes watering type stuff at that. And I also remember that in church there were songs that at Sunday school and Vacation Bible School that I just really liked, and they just really, but I relate them to anything? No, I didn't know. I thank God that I came to know the Lord. And I thank God that I'm alive at this time. At this time of the Lord and at this time of our nation, because we are alive at a time when we can see God do amazing things to bring America out of its weariness. But America has grown weary. America has gone from being the place desired to the laughingstock. And yet, to wise people, it's still a place to be desired. But even our very leaders have worked at bringing it to a laughingstock. For what reason? I don't have the slightest idea. Obviously because they're deceived. Obviously because they don't care about the things of God. And so they have grown weary. America has grown weary because America has strayed from its roots. America has strayed from that you would keep the United States in your holy protection, that you would incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to the government, and certain and entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that you will most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and a pacific temper of mind, which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion. And without a humble initiation of whose example in these things, we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Without these things, we can never hope to be a happy nation. Our nation is not right now a happy nation. But we can be completely happy. Because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Our part of this nation, our little place, our little flashlight can have our heart in the Lord. Our individual, our bodily, we can spread that light. We weren't given these things just to have them. We weren't given these things for us to just come and sit here and leave here and then wait till we come here again and get ourselves a little joy juice and then leave again to join the despair of the world. I will not take part in their despair. My part of this nation is blessed. And I'm called to be a blessing. And so, this is what I should do. George Washington, they have some statements in this book talking about what he had to say. On Thanksgiving in 1789, he said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection and favor." Why is America weary? Well, we not only have allowed ourselves to be brought to a place where we don't implore His protection and favor, but we have our very leaders trying to not keep Him in the forefront of people's minds and at people's attention, but try to remove Him so people can't see Him or acknowledge Him. There's something wrong with that picture. No wonder we're weary. And yet, the very people who have been instrumental in this happening, they just can't figure out how it happened. Well, when all character is gone from the way that the politicians do their job, when all character is gone from the way the financial people do their job, when greed is the mainstay, where it doesn't matter what happens to anybody else, I mean, I'm greedy. I'm as greedy as can be. I'm greedy for the things of God to have more, to provide more of the Word of God. But when people's focus is just to get more when they couldn't possibly spend all that they have, and they lose sight of who they trample on to get it, we've lost the principles, we've lost the character that does those things. How did we get here? It wasn't a quick slide. It was a subtle slide. But as it is, when things begin to slide, the closer you get to the end of the slide, the faster you're going. We've been picking up speed. Hallelujah, I'm praying that we land in a splash of the Holy Spirit. That His people, us, will seek Him. And as we seek Him, He will heal us and He will heal our land. That things will be restored. That things will be the way that the Lord would have them to be. On consecrating liberty, George Washington said it would be peculiarly improper to omit in the first official act my fervent supplication that Almighty Being, who rules over the universe, who presides in the councils of nations, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect, that His benediction may consecrate to the liberties and the happiness of the people of the United States. This country was formed by people who wanted to see God exalted. And the people who founded this nation asked God's blessing on this nation. Now, every person was not, you know, a walking on water Christian, but every person acknowledged God. Again, when I was growing up, one thing I noticed, it wasn't so much that people were so dedicated to God, but I did notice that most everybody went to church somewhere. On a Sunday morning, you wouldn't see much on the streets. You would see every church, cars packed around it. You would see people go in. You would see people come out. Sometimes the only praise you might notice was a "Praise God, that's over," or "I thought He'd never get done." But still, people went. People had an awareness of a need of things that even maybe they didn't understand, but they went. And so I always went. And as a little child, we just went. And the only time we didn't went was if there was a ball game and the ball game was out of town and if it started too early for us to not go to church first. Apparently, you know, there had to have been something that I got, but I didn't have a burning desire as a child. I didn't have a testimony that I was raised with anything beyond "Come Lord Jesus, be our guest," or "Now I lay me down to sleep." But now, that is not the status quo in any community, is it? No. Now, oftentimes, we will hear the lawnmowers going. I can stand here and see all the boats going by. You know, on the one hand, you say, well, people are being a lot more honest now. They just aren't bothering. But on the other hand, they're revealing more that they're just weary of bothering. My prayer is that people will drive by and see the sign that says, "May your people return to the Lord," and they'll go, "Yeah, I should think about that." But I have no doubt that some will drive by and say, "Who do they think they are? What good is he?" Or some little kid will be reading it saying, "What does that mean? Return to the Lord." In our nation, little kids who don't even know who Jesus Christ is, they just think he's a byword that they hear on the street. When I was a kid, there was a drunk on the street. I remember he scared me to death. But he grabbed me. I remember where it happened. It happened right down where the state's attorney's office is. At that time, it was a bakery. Later, it became a bar. But I remember he grabbed me in the car. I said, tell you what, buddy, it don't matter where you are, don't matter what you're doing. When he pulls that chain, baby, you got to go. That's 45, maybe 50 years ago. It had an impression on me. I don't know why. I thought maybe I was going to go. I don't know. Because we didn't even have all that many of them. But America has grown weary. And we've grown weary because we ceased to fear the Lord and to seek the Lord. But we are not among those that have no hope. We have confidence that what the Lord says is what the Lord can do. As we said on Wednesday, I can believe God. And I can declare I can believe God until I ultimately say, hey, wait a minute, I believe God. I will make that declaration. Until I do believe Him, I will declare to myself, you can believe God, Roger. You can believe God. I don't want this nation to wear out. I want this nation to rise up. And I believe that although we've spent a number of years getting to this point, God can restore it in a day. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. About the Bible, George Washington said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Ora sande buca sheria. That hits the nail on the head, doesn't it? You know, it's kind of sad the way that we prove the Word of God sometimes. But we've proved it. Haven't we? We sort of proved that without God and the Bible, you can't rightly guide a nation. And finally, on being a Christian, George Washington said, to the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to laud the more distinguished character of Christian. Like I said, our nation was founded to advance the gospel. And because of that, a very unlikely and impossible thing was done. When you read, my bride reads these history books and gives wonderful reports about them, and it's so good that she'll read them for me, because I got other books that I'm trying to read. But, you know, she talks about things that we don't think about, that they talk about. The hardships that these people suffered to win this nation. The impossibility, the impossible circumstances they faced, and the way that prayer played a part in that. And when you imagine, I mean, I have, we've talked as we drove across this country, we've talked about, man, can you imagine the people when they hit South Dakota in a covered wagon? You know, there's a reason that they really don't try to do Survivor in the Badlands. Because they wouldn't get anybody back out if they really did it there. Or when you think about people, they talk about, you know, that from the East Coast to the middle of America, the forest that they cleared to make a garden. And they didn't have chainsaws and payloaders. But those people had a love and a trust in God, and they didn't know any better than to just do what they were doing. And they succeeded. And although we, in our lifetimes, have been a part of advancing technologically. We've also been a part of losing our faith. Now, granted, at the same time that a majority, and it is a majority, have backed away from the need for God, there's also been people rising up in power and in faith and in understanding and seeking and praying. And now, those that are sleeping and have been sleeping but had a bit of a knowledge of God are beginning to be stirred, beginning to be called, beginning to look and say, you know something? Something's got to change. It can't remain business as usual. We can't just allow this to keep going. If for no other reason, self-preservation, I don't want to lose my life and the lifestyle that I have in America. Do you? I want it to increase, and I want America to increase. And I want us to be a one nation under God. I want us to be a nation that is a blessing to the nations. Even in our reckless stupor, we still do a lot of godly things. We do some things that they say that we shouldn't do, but they're the right thing to do. The liberals, or whatever you want to call them, that think, well, we shouldn't be helping Iran, and we shouldn't be helping Iraq, and we shouldn't be in Afghanistan, and yet the people that are there risking their lives say, we're doing a good thing. Hello? Wake up and smell the coffee. The people who are putting their life on their line say it's a good thing, and you sit back here and say, no? That's stupid. And the Bible says those who make idols and worship them are stupid. Hello? I've been called a lot of things in my life. But perhaps if I were called stupid, that would bother me more than anything. Other than if I say it. If I say I'm stupid, that's my problem. But I wouldn't care too much for somebody else to walk up and say, oh, wait a minute. My wife's done that to me. Actually, it was a question. Are you stupid? But then there was another time when you were so tickled with your little statement that you said, are you that stupid? So, I don't know what to think about that. But since she wanted me to bring this up this morning, I was getting ready for church and I was wanting to wear red, white, and blue. And the closest thing I had to a red shirt was a maroon shirt. And I put it on and I knew that when I put this tie on with it, that it was not really, you know, remarkably fitting together. But I really didn't care. I was trying to be patriotic. Well, needless to say, she didn't think it was that good. And then she proceeded to go, you know, get spiritual with me and explain to me that, Roger, you're worship, leading worship and you're preaching and you shouldn't look, you know, basically like a buffoon and be distracting to the people. And so my response to that was, well, I wonder how many people refuse to receive if I don't wear the right clothes, or maybe it's your problem. Well, finally, I decided that we should just quit talking about it, or I would be in no condition to preach the word this morning. So what's that got to do anything? Not much. Just a little comic relief for you. Folks, we are a part of a great nation. We may not be what we should be, but as Christians, we are not always what we should be. But just as Christians, where the foundation of our greatness is Christ, our nation, the foundation of this nation is still Christ. Now, people may have run off the rock, and actions may be out of whack and off the rock, but this country was established on a sure foundation. And that rock does not move. He's still there. Still there. Isn't that good news? So blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. He is still God. He is still Lord. And we need to, as he said, return to him. If you will humble yourselves and pray, if you will seek my face, if you will turn from your wicked ways, I'll hear you from heaven. And I'll forgive your sin. And I'll heal your land for your sake. Just imagine a year from now, and this nation is absolutely turned around. And people are saying, wow, I'm sure glad there were some people who pray. And there'll be a lot of people going, what in the world happened? We had them right where we wanted them. We all but had God out of this nation, and boom, there he is. He's Lord again. And you can't go anywhere without somebody praising the Lord, somebody singing a song, and somebody declaring the promises of God. It's driving me crazy. Then leave. But America is God's. That is my declaration. That is our faith. What did that psalm say? You made that the declaration. What did that psalm say that you read to us? Well, basically it was that. It was good things over our nation. And that should be our declaration. Today is a celebration of our nation. Little pops going off. That's what's going on in our nation, is little pops going off. And these pops are going to grow up and grow up and grow up and grow up. See? See? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The prophetic is operating here today, folks. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just praise you. And we thank you that we can be a part of this nation, but not just a part, but the most important part, because we are the part that will pray and that will call upon you and who believe you and who know that if you say you will do it, you will do it. And you've said to us, come reason with me. You've said, call out to me. You said, I'll restore you. We ask and we thank you for the restoration of this nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.